Hello and welcome to Bedford and District Audio News for the week ending Sunday the 12th of October. This week's news is dominated by Bedford Borough Council's financial difficulties. They're cutting costs and scrapping projects, and we'll be hearing the Mayor's explanation in his monthly column. Bedford Repair Cafe is back, so perhaps they can fix Queen's Bridge. And curbside collections of glass for recycling is here at last. This is William Naylor speaking, and reading with me this week are Michelle Fisher and Joe Kearney. Sunrise this week is at 27 minutes past 7, and sunset at 7 minutes past 6. And now it's time for the news.
Bedford Borough Council is facing what councillors have described as a deepening financial emergency, with reports presented this week revealing both a 13.6 million overspend this year and a 58.6 million funding gap by 2030. The figures were discussed at the full council meeting on Wednesday, the 8th of October, where members were warned that without government support, the authority could soon struggle to balance its books. A financial report covering the first quarter of 2025-26 showed that spiralling costs in children's social care, adult care packages and temporary accommodation are driving the worsening situation. Children's services are expected to exceed their budget by 5.6 million, mainly due to increasing numbers of looked after children and complex care placements. Adult services are forecast to overspend by 2.3 million, while housing and temporary accommodation costs are projected to add a further 2.6 million. If the 13.6 million gap cannot be closed by March 2026, the council will have to apply for exceptional financial support from the government. This measure could result in Whitehall intervention, higher council tax, and further cuts to local services. To limit spending, the council has already introduced emergency financial controls and capital spending has also been reduced by 35 million, with several projects, including Sharnbrook Primary expansion, Robinson Pool refurbishment and Wixom Station car park, either removed or under review.
Bedford Borough Council is preparing to launch a public consultation on proposals to save £11.5 million in 2026-27. If approved by the Council's executive on Tuesday, 15th October 2025, the consultation on the savings plan will run from Sunday, the 20th October to Tuesday, the 18th of November. The draft savings plan includes ending the four-hour free parking scheme at All Hallows and Lurk Street multi-storey car parks with a full review of parking charges. Introducing charges for green waste collections as part of a wider review of the waste service. Reducing or removing grants to voluntary and community organisations, including rural grants, £100,000. Climate change grants, £100,000. Community chest, £10,000. Bedfordshire CVS funding, £40,000. Reviewing library services, leisure contracts, public conveniences and community partnerships for further savings. Restructuring within the council, including changes to the Mayor's office and communications team. The council says that the measures are necessary to fulfil its legal obligation to set a balanced budget by 28th of February 2026, while protecting statutory services wherever possible. The announcement follows the Mayor's decision last week to pause the four-hour free parking scheme in town centre car parks from Monday 3rd November 2025 as part of cost-saving measures. Mayor Tom Whitton said that the decision was a difficult but responsible one made to protect essential services. Later, we'll be hearing more from him in his monthly column in Bedford Independent. The public consultation on the savings proposals is expected to open later this month, with final decisions on the 2026-27 budget due in February 2026.
And here are more details about some of those cuts. A scheme that allowed councillors to support community projects has been scrapped with immediate effect. The Member Ward Fund scheme, which gives each councillor an annual budget to support local projects, had a total allocation of £340,000 this year. It has funded initiatives such as community events, environmental improvements, CCTV installations and highway works. But the decision signed by Mayor Tom Wootton on October the 7th means no new applications for ward funding will be accepted for the remainder of the 2025-26 financial year. Existing commitments worth around £182,000 so far will still be honoured. Ward councillors were not consulted in advance. The decision notice states, due to the urgent nature of this decision, ward councillor views have not been sought. If it is not called in, the decision will be implemented on the 16th of October.
And 4 hours of free parking at two of Bedford Town Centre's main multi-storey car parks has also been axed. From Monday 3rd November 2025, free parking at All Hallows and Lurk Street car parks will be temporarily halted. Mayor Tom Wootton said, "Free parking has been good for our town and local businesses, and I remain fully committed to bringing it back when the borough's finances allow. Right now, my priority must be to protect essential services and the residents who rely on them most." Councillor Andrea Spice, portfolio holder for Economic Growth, Planning and Prosperity, said that 2 hours of free parking will still be available at Queen Street multi-storey car park, as well as at many council-run car parks on Sundays.
Mayor Tom Wootton has rejected calls from an independent councillor to sell the former Debenhams store on Bedford High Street, saying the council is in the middle of a commercial process to find a development partner. At last week's full council meeting, Councillor Doug McMurdo, independent Sharnbrook, challenged the mayor over the future of the building, which has been empty since the department store closed in 2021. "When will you commit to selling the former Debenhams store in the High Street that is presently not fully utilised? Unlikely to be utilised, having listened to the Councillor Spice at budget scrutiny," Councillor McMurdo asked. He added that it is costing borough taxpayers about £450,000 per annum just to have the building. "You could sell it for in the order of about £1.4 million, well under what we paid for it, and you'd be offsetting £450,000 going forward. When will you sell it?" Mayor Wootton disputed the figures, but said that the council expects clarity on its next steps by the end of the year. The council bought the Debenhams site in 2023 as part of its town centre regeneration plans. It is part of a wider effort to bring new uses into the High Street area, including the nearby Maze Yard development.
So let's hear more from Mayor Tom Wootton about the state of the council's finances. This is his monthly guest column. It is published unedited and does not reflect the views of the Bedford Independent. "Everyone is aware of the financial challenges faced by the current government, and local authorities like Bedford Borough are no different. Our community is feeling the impact, especially as rising demands for adult social care, children's services and temporary accommodation put significant pressure on our finances. Over the past 10 years, our core spending power has declined by 7%, while our costs have jumped by 25%. At the same time, government funding has been cut by another 25%. Despite these difficulties, Bedford Borough Council has worked hard to deliver efficiencies. However, the pressures we are experiencing now and those forecasted over the next 4 years seriously threaten our ability to keep a balanced budget. Now is the time to look ahead and take action. Every political group, including my own administration, must unite as never before. We need to work together with both council members and officers to make the tough decisions that are coming. Some choices will not be easy. They might even go against our manifestos and personal beliefs. But it is our goal as a stronger and more resilient Bedford that we must be ready to consider all options and proceed with honesty, courage and unity. To be clear, our statutory services and duty to residents will not be put at risk. However, we must thoroughly review our discretionary services. This may mean reducing or even stopping certain types of spending. We are following the advice of the Chartered Institute of Public Finance and Accountancy, CIPFA, which has urged swift and decisive action. This includes reviewing discretionary budgets, selling surplus assets, reassessing special area charges, and tackling the £21 million in outstanding council tax debt. In 2022, our medium-term financial plan identified a funding gap of £33 million, partly due to the expected business rate reset, which could reduce our funding by £10 million. That gap remains, but we are working on initiatives across the council to address it. I want to acknowledge the actions already taken by council officers and colleagues as they prepare for the challenges ahead. restructuring the senior leadership team, presenting an updated MTFS extending to 2030, outlining our difficult financial position, applying tighter spending controls to limit projected overspend this year, launching a stability plan, starting a programme of structured asset disposals to generate capital receipts, resetting the budget process to prioritise long-term financial stability, recognising the need to review and revise the capital programme to support the stability plan. Even with these challenges, I remain optimistic. The introduction of universal destinations and experiences presents us with a unique opportunity to shape our future. By working together, both councillors and officers, we can navigate these financial headwinds and continue to serve our 195,000 residents with pride. Finally, I want to thank the thousands of volunteers across Bedford Borough. Your commitment, whether in our parks, schools, youth programmes, litter picking groups or community care projects, is the heartbeat of our community. You make Bedford better every day, and I'm extremely grateful. Difficult times lie ahead, but I have faith in Bedford, in our people, and in our collective ability to build a stronger, brighter future together.
Bedford Borough Council has voted to withdraw its local plan 2040, following a warning from the government's planning inspector that the plan has no credible future in light of the proposed Universal Studios theme park and unresolved highways issues. The decision was made at last week's full council, where councillors backed a recommendation to scrap the existing plan and begin work on a new version extending to 2046. The move follows a letter sent to the council on June the 10th, 2025, by Inspector Darren McGreary, who said there was no reasonable way for the examination of the plan to continue and strongly recommended its withdrawal. He warned that the plan had been overtaken by events and that continuing with the current examination offered no realistic pathway to adoption. The local plan process had already been paused twice, most recently until May 2025. It will need to prepare a replacement plan within 30 months of starting the new plan-making process in line with updated national guidelines. In the meantime, planning decisions will rely on any planning policies that remain valid and national policy, leaving the borough more exposed to speculative development.
Every household and business in Bedford Borough will soon be able to recycle glass from home as part of their regular bin collections. From Monday the 1st December, Bedford Borough Council will expand curbside glass recycling to cover all residential and commercial properties, following a successful pilot scheme that received strong support from residents and collection crews. During the trial, Bedfordians in selected areas were able to place glass bottles and jars in their orange-lidded recycling bins. The pilot saw recycling rates rise and showed apparent demand for more convenient glass recycling across the borough. The wider rollout was delayed after a fire at the Elstow Waste Transfer Station earlier this year, but the council and its contractors have since confirmed the infrastructure and processing capacity are now ready for the full expansion. To help locals prepare, information leaflets will be delivered to all households, explaining how to recycle glass and outlining future plans for household food waste collections. Stickers will also be placed on orange-lidded bins to remind residents that glass can now be placed in them. For more information, visit bedford.gov.uk/glass trial.
And now from the family notices in Bedford today, we bring you the sad news that Morris Sidney John Phillips died peacefully on the 28th of September, aged 85. And now we return to the news.
Planning news next, and people in Biddenham living next to a Carla Homes development on Bromham Road say drainage plans linked to the development's planning conditions were signed off despite evidence that they would not protect neighbouring properties during construction. They allege that the council failed to act on repeated warnings about problems with the scheme and only launched an investigation after pressure from the local MP and media involvement. Martin Shaw, who lives next to the site, said that the drainage strategy approved through the planning process failed to account for the impact on neighbouring homes, leaving his and other properties bang in the middle of a construction site without adequate protection. He also criticised the council's decision to carry out a site inspection with Carla Homes but not invite affected residents, saying it stinks that the developer would be allowed to sugarcoat the issue without residents present. Mr Shaw says changes made on site, including replacing a grass verge with hard-cored temporary surfaces, have altered how water drains, directing it downhill into neighbouring land. A previous planning inquiry identified the need for protective drainage measures, such as ACO drains, at neighbouring access points. Mr Shaw maintains Carla has not installed these early in the construction process, despite evidence showing they are needed to prevent runoff into third-party land. A Carla Homes spokesperson said, "We're committed to delivering the permanent engineered drainage solution, which has been approved by the lead local flood authority to prevent surface water affecting neighbouring properties. In the meantime, a temporary soakaway system will be installed to help protect nearby homes."
Bedford Borough Council has said that Queen's Bridge, which crosses the River Great Ouse between Queen's Park and Kempston, will remain closed while it considers its options. The vital foot and cycle crossing was subject to an emergency closure on Thursday, 21st August, after a detailed inspection revealed significant and unexpected decay and rot in the arches supporting the central span of the bridge. The wooden bridge, which was constructed in 1985, had an expected lifespan of 45 to 55 years. Frequent repairs have been made to the timber parapets and decking in recent years. The investigation in August revealed that the decay poses a risk of partial collapse, which led to the immediate closure of the bridge to ensure public safety. The council says it is currently exploring multiple options to reopen the crossing, with a full report due to be presented to the council early in October. The current official diversion in place is to use County Bridge and Prebren Street, 800 metres away.
Bedfordshire's Police and Crime Commissioner's new stop and search charter has drawn criticism from campaigners who say it does little to address existing disproportionality in how powers are used. Stopwatch, a national campaign group, said government figures show black people in Bedfordshire are three times more likely to be stopped and searched under Section 1 of the Police and Criminal Evidence Act than white people. It said that in 2023-24, 12% of those stopped were black, despite them making up only 6% of the county's population. White people accounted for 48% of stop and searches, but make up 72% of the population. Superintendent Ian Taylor, Bedfordshire's police lead for stop and search, said the force has one of the lowest disproportionality ratios in the country, but accepts more work is needed. Stopwatch highlighted that while the Independent Office for Police Conduct oversees the system, most complaints are still investigated by the police themselves. Investigations can take a long time and complaints are rarely upheld. Even when they are, officers rarely face serious disciplinary action. On the use of force, Stopwatch said Bedfordshire officers used force in 41% of all stop and search incidents, despite the most common reason being drugs and only 14% of encounters leading to arrest. The group described this rate as striking and highlighted the impact on vulnerable groups. It added that officers used force against 1,100 minors, including 8 children under 11, and 27% of use of force reports involved individuals with a recorded mental health condition. The Police and Crime Commissioner's Office said the charter sets out people's rights during stop and search and explains how the force's use of these powers will be independently scrutinised. Superintendent Ian Taylor said, "We have recently commissioned an academic review to assess stop and search disparity in Bedfordshire, and we are now reviewing the results of that. Use of force following a stop search is mainly in relation to handcuffing. This is often necessary to ensure that safe searches are conducted." Stopwatch said that the charter does not go far enough to address structural issues in stop and search or use of force. Police and Crime Commissioner John Tizard responded, "The charter marks a major advance and puts the rights of citizens at the forefront. It reflects best practice nationally."
Two teenagers have been jailed for their roles in the fatal stabbing of 17-year-old Thomas Taylor outside Bedford bus station earlier this year. Bennett Ndeke, 19, of Midland Road, Bedford, was sentenced to life imprisonment with a minimum term of 22 years after being found guilty of murder. Riaz Mir, 18, of Foster Hill Road, Bedford, was found guilty of manslaughter and jailed for 8 years. The pair were sentenced at Luton Crown Court last week following a trial which heard how Thomas was stabbed multiple times during a violent confrontation in Greenhill Street on Wednesday, the 8th of January, 2025. Bedford's brewing heritage has entered a new chapter with the official opening of the Dam Eagle Brewery, following a £70 million transformation by Spanish brewing giant Dam. The opening of the first Dam Brewery outside the Iberian Peninsula, which was attended by industry leaders, ministers and representatives from both the UK and Spanish governments. The upgraded site in Queen's Park has been completely modernised since Dam acquired the brewery in 2022. The investment has almost doubled production capacity to 1.8 million hectolitres a year, with a target of 2 million by 2027. The brewery's expansion is expected to double the number of direct employees. Since 2022, Dam has already tripled its UK workforce from 56 to 180. Alongside its flagship Estrella Dam Lager, brewed in Bedford since spring 2024, the upgraded facilities will produce soft drinks and new beverage formats using advanced syrup and mixing technology. New equipment has also been installed, including a brand new canning line that can fill and package 90,000 cans an hour. The keg line has also been upgraded, increasing its capacity from 450 to 750 kegs an hour. With its investment, Dam aims to consolidate its position as the UK's largest independent beer company, serving 150 pints of Estrella every minute nationally, while building a stronger local presence through skills, sustainability and community partnerships. Time now to open our online copy of the Bedford Clanger to see what's on this week. And we begin on Monday, the 13th of October, with a Bedford Mindful Embankment Walk. You meet outside the front of the Swan Hotel at 6 p.m. and it's free. Just turn up. Also that evening, there's classical music at the Bedford Corn Exchange, the Philharmonia Concert. And the Philharmonia's principal conductor, Santu Matias Rovali, returns to Bedford, joined by pianist Vikunga Olafsson. Performance starts at 7 p.m. There's more classical music on Tuesday at St Paul's Church, St Paul's Square, starting at 1 p.m. It's a piano recital by Elizaveta Velikova. In fact, Tuesday is a busy day because the Bedford National Trust Association is presenting a talk by Professor Lloyd Peck, the team leader of the British Antarctic Survey, at the Addison Centre in Kempston at 2:15. The film Conclave is being shown at the University of Bedfordshire Pole Hill Avenue at 7:30. There's a monthly quiz night at the Castle Public House in Newnham Street starting at 7:30. And finally for Tuesday, there is the first of a series of performances of Seizing the Skies at the Place Theatre. That's a brand new play presented by the Bedford Drama Company and written by Oscar Ailerman and Richard Moon to commemorate the 95th anniversary of the R101 airship disaster. On Wednesday, the 15th of October, comedian Jason Manford is performing at the Bedford Corn Exchange at 7:30. On Thursday, you can swing the music with Down for the Count All-Stars at the Quarry Theatre. That's at 7:30. And on Friday the 17th and Saturday the 18th of October, the Bedford Antiques Decorative and Art Fair takes place at King's House, Ampthill Road, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. On Saturday, the Bedford Repair Cafe are back. They're at Project 229 Bedford Road, Kempston. You can come along to get any item per household repaired by local volunteers. Electrical items, clothes, bikes and more. Finally, on Sunday, there's a guided walk called The Rise and Fall of Bedford Castle. It starts at Bedford Town Centre at 11 a.m. at the What's On Hub on Silver Street. And that's the best of What's On this week.
Time now for the local sports news. And dramatic injury time winners were the name of the game last Tuesday night, 7th of October, as Bedford Town and Real Bedford beat Southern League Central Division 1 opposition in progressing to the next round of the Bedfordshire Senior Cup. Both sides had their in-form strikers to thank, with Tyrone Marsh netting a 95th minute winner for Bedford Town as they sneaked past Barton Rovers 2-1, while Josh Allen was on hand to sink AFC Dunstable in a 7-goal thriller at Creasy Park as Real fought back to win 4-3. The draw for the second round will take place once all the first round games are completed. Boxing. Boxing royalty was in Bedford recently when the legendary Lennox Lewis celebrated his 60th birthday at Rocker on Castle Lane. And the former undisputed world heavyweight boxing champion topped off his evening with a bespoke cake from La Rondine, one of the town's best-loved bakeries.
Finally, Bedford Blues battled hard but ultimately succumbed to a painful 35-30 loss at old rivals Coventry in the second round of Champ Rugby on Saturday, marking back-to-back losses to start the new rugby union season. The Blues once again scored 4 tries and picked up a second bonus point for the margin of defeat, but were outscored in an entertaining encounter at Butts Park Arena as Coventry came out on top. The Blues' performance was a far more accomplished one than last week's hammering in the season's opener against Ealing, and they finished far closer than in this fixture last season, where the Blues were resoundingly beaten by 45-7. Football next, and Real Bedford threw away a 2-0 lead to eventually draw 2-2 against Barwell, squandering an opportunity to rise into the Southern League Premier Central playoff spots. Goals from Archie Jones and the in-form Josh Allen had left Real Bedford 2-0 up and coasting with 20 minutes to spare, before a devastating brace from debutant Antti Dwyer snatched a point for the visitors. And that's all for this week. The news stories came from Bedford Independent, Bedford Today, the Bedford Clanger, and the BBC. And so it's goodbye from William.
Goodbye from Michelle.
And it's goodbye from Joe.
And from our producer, Steve. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again next week. Until then, goodbye.